Many years ago, after visiting my brother in Vienna, my now wife and I took a short excursion to Lake Hallstatt. As we watched the lights of the village bounce playfully on the lake's water, the village suddenly plunged into darkness. For us, the blackout was fortuitous, for it revealed the night sky and its spellbinding luminosity. It was a profound moment. I felt arrested to the glory and majesty of nature. It was then I realized I had reached the pinnacle of joy, the apex of my happiness. But this was just a result of puerile naivety. As many moons later, I stumbled across the engrossing podcast that is Big Timmy's House. This podcast fills me with such dizzying rapture and sheer blind ecstasy that time at Hallstatt means nothing to me now. It should be cast into the lake with some concrete footwear and never be heard of again.
Welcome everyone to Big Timmy's House. My name is Big Timmy. Joining me this week is my wife Tanya.
Hello.
And my man Dave.
It sounded a bit creepy with that.
My name is Big Timmy.
Trying to do so. For those of you listening at home, it might sound like I'm creepy, but it's because I'm sick. It's not because I'm creepy. Well, I am creepy, but that's beside the point. I'm just not well.
You're doing a slight Barry White impression as well.
Oh, am I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Should I just lean straight into the Barry White? I'm more like Ringo Starr there, I think, though.
Possibly.
Thomas, no. Oh, he used to voice Thomas the Tank Engine.
True, he did.
It was my favourite Beatle because of that.
He went choo-choo.
So I've been sick, and I didn't do an episode last week. Sorry for those that listen on a weekly basis. I was too sick to edit even a D&D episode. So, but I am back now, still sick, but able
more,
to do
more
stuff.
More upright.
Yeah.
Than vertical.
Which is a shame.
Than horizontal, sorry.
Yeah, I'm more upright than upright. Yeah. I'm even more vertical than vertical, yeah. I'm doing a lot better, but I'm still like sick, so that's fun. Anyway, how are you, other people?
We're okay.
Same old. Getting ready for Christmas.
Yes.
Yes. That has to be the weirdest thing, because it's just happened.
Yeah. Oh.
It's just sort of like, oh, God, there we go. And
yeah, the worst of it, like, you know, it's the same time every year, but some years just fly by, and the next thing you know, it's like December already, and like, where did the year just go? It just flew by.
Yes, I 110% agree with that, because I was literally like, there's so many plans for this year, so much to do. Instead, I went another way. I got sick. Mm-hmm. I just started getting ill like all the time, and it was just like, "What should I do this week? I'll get sick. That'll do. Yeah, I'll just be sick. And what about this week? Sick again. Yeah." And I'm like saying to my body, "Like, we've got other things to do. We need to do this, this." And it's like, "No, you're going to die."
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's worked out for me so far. I've not done any of the things I wanted to do, like planned out, and I've been spending a lot of time in pyjamas. So it's not even the end. Yeah, it's not even the end of year review, and I'm reviewing my year. I should probably have saved that. Damn it! You'll hear that again in a couple of weeks' time. But yeah, it's now getting dark at night, and it's getting to that time where you just want to stay indoors. I mean, for me, that's all the time, but
yeah.
But, you know, it's getting to that point now where it's just like, let's just whack a Christmas movie on, you know, put the lights on the tree on. Big Timmy's house is decorated. Well, the living room is decorated. We've got like a tree. They've got the tree up.
The tree's up in the living room.
Milo hasn't attacked it yet.
Hooray! Fingers crossed.
Yeah, we're sort of hoping that he doesn't. And I've probably spent a bit too much money on Funko Pop figures. The Funko Pop people have released Marvel
Gingerbread
Men Funko Pops. And Asda was selling them for cheap, so I was like, I'll buy some. And I love them dearly.
They are very cute.
Yeah. So what's up with you, Dave? Just doing stuff?
Done some D&D, done tons of writing. And that's about it. I'm already wrapped up with presents and stuff. I don't have any room for decorations, so I don't have any decorations. Other than that, no, let's just work, relax, and then maybe play the odd few games. I started playing the Ghostbusters game on PS4 today, which was fun.
Yes, I'd been meaning to... That's a very nice segue there, Dave.
You're a segue.
Well, that's making it less of a nice segue. Calling me names. I can't believe you did that. I'm very upset now.
So you should be.
I'm putting you on the naughty step when I see you next. We're going to talk about Ghostbusters. Today. That's what we're doing. I decided this like last week, but I was too sick to record. So we're going to do it this week. And the people at home are going to love it, or they're going to be busted. I don't know. I'm sorry. I sort of lost it there.
I'll just bust them.
That'll do. Recently the new Ghostbusters movie Afterlife has come out. So I thought we would talk about just Ghostbusters in general. I don't remember when I first saw it. I think it was fairly early on. And I think I instantly fell in love with Ghostbusters. It's just, look at it.
Yeah.
Just look at it all. It's just so, they're just regular guys, science guys, just, you know, busting ghosts. Chilling out, hanging out with, you know, ghosts. Like Slimer. Who doesn't love Slimer? When I was a kid, there was like, you know, there's cartoons and toys and all this sort of thing. And I've noticed recently they started to re-release all the old toys. Like the Kenner action figures, which is obviously aimed at our sort of
generation
where it's like, you've got disposable income. Here's that Slimer figure that you had as a kid, but your mum threw out. And
here's the haunted toilet.
The haunted toilet was a great thing I found, because we had that as a shared memory, a childhood trauma, I guess. I was actually scared of the toilet, like flushing the toilet, because of the ghost toy that we had. I shit you not. I'm not sort of like...
Whereas I made the characters poop in its mouth.
Yeah. Well, it shows the difference. I'm just going to be rationally scared of flushing the toilet, and you're just like, that's shit in its mouth.
You were designed for this.
The ghost is like, I guess this is what my life is now.
This is my your afterlife. Existence.
Could you imagine that's your entire afterlife is just being a ghost toilet and people just pooping in your mouth? And you're like, oh... What did I do wrong in life? Yeah, no, and it's like, well, you were a serial killer, so this is what you get. I've still got my Stay Puft Marshmallow Man figure.
You do?
How white is he?
He's a lot whiter than you would think.
Yeah, he's fairly white.
He's a little grubby, but because we played with him in the garden.
Nice.
Because at one point we had Jurassic Park and Ghostbusters going on, like, you know.
I know most people that have, like, a Stay Puft after... Like, especially up until now, it would have been like black in areas, or maybe yellow. And
yeah, I mean, it's like it's yellow and brown, I think, in a couple of the crevices. Because obviously, where his legs, he's got like the poofy legs, so they're, and the fingers as well. It's difficult to clean as well, because it's just like it's that weird degrading, the constantly biodegrading plastic. It's funny when my mum sees it, when she comes to visit, she's always like, oh, look, it's Stay Puft.
Yep.
Well, yep. There he is. We had the Ecto-1 as well as a toy. That was fucking cool. Because it was just like you could put any action figures in there.
Yeah.
So I think I had like a Lieutenant Data, and I put that in the Ghostbusters car. Drove Data's him around. Yeah, like, Data, go with the Ghostbusters and... and help them. So I would cross over my characters, action figures. So I had like the ginger haired guy from Captain Planet, Wheeler, I think his name is. The fire, the guy with fire.
Yep.
He had a backpack and you could press the button and it'd be like, fire, go planet, stop evil villains. And like I would. But I would just whack it all the time. So it'd be like, fire, 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 stop, equal villain. And I thought it said equal villains as well. Stop equal villains. Like, you're all
equal. They can't have equal rights.
Yeah. Even villains have rights. But, yeah, so I'd team up all these and make my own little ideal Ghostbusters team.
Nice.
For some reason, the fire guy from Captain Planet was there because he could set fire to the ghosts. Which I was like, that's weird. Now thinking about it, fucking weird. I don't know why I thought that. Had a Sonic as well that would join them.
Nice.
He would run around and trap the ghosts.
Nice.
See, I had a fucking great imagination.
Yeah, I didn't have any toys. Well, I did have toys. Not
did
any...
you not have a? Did you have a Slinky? But you straightened it.
I tried to. Didn't blow it.
It's a ghost game.
An incredibly long stick.
It didn't. Well, the worst of it, if you got tangled and then you tried to untangle it, you'd start straightening it. So like, oh well, just carry on.
Just straighten the entire thing out. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I didn't have any Ghostbusters. I don't think I got into Ghostbusters until I was probably a teenager.
Ah.
I don't think I ever watched it when I was a little. I think my family were a bit.
I remember covering my eyes to the librarian ghost and blah, and then I could watch the rest of the film.
Yeah, I think my parents thought it might be too scary for us as little ones.
I actually was scared of it, and especially Ghostbusters 2. I used to have these horrific nightmares when I was suffering with. Like my hot flushes, yeah. So I'd have this dream where I'd be in a stately home and there'd be the Vigo painting.
Ooh.
And then it would like melt away and you'd see the river of slime, like, and then Vigo would grab me and drag me into the painting and through the tunnels of slime, and I would be like screaming.
Wow.
And I think I mentioned it, I might have mentioned it on the podcast before, where I was screaming like, you're going to give him to me. And I think it was Vigo. I thought Vigo, my parents were going to sacrifice me to Vigo. Vigo! Which now, like, watching it, because we watched 1 and 2.
We did.
And then we watched Afterlife. And we were sort of like, now I'm just like, I love that film. It's, like, so funny and, like, it's some weird, just weird parts. But at the time as a kid, I can see just being like, holy crap.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
And because they treat it as science as well. Like, you can imagine being like 9 years old and being like, holy crap, this must be real.
Yeah,
like,
that's it.
I think maybe I just was really stupid as a kid and couldn't differentiate between fiction and reality. But
no. If you think about it, like people, Avatar... the blue men people died because they couldn't get into that reality.
Yeah, they were like talking about killing themselves.
Yeah,
becoming depressed because
they couldn't get into that reality. So it's
we'll never be able to go and see like a blue tiger.
Exactly. So
I can't be a Smurf.
Yeah. So it's not stupid because
I want to see a bird thing. So I look outside. Oh my god, there's bird things.
I want to have sex with helicopter lizards.
Don't show him the helicopter lizards, quick.
Don't kink shame me.
It's definitely plausible.
Well, I guess Ghostbusters is actually set on Earth.
That's so, it, exactly.
I mean, and I was a little kid.
Yeah, and that makes it more, I think that makes it more real because yeah, it is set on Earth.
I remember when I watched the trailer to Afterlife, and I always thought that the girl was in a wheelchair, and I thought they were running on the idea of what they did in Ghostbusters Extreme, where one of the Ghostbusters was in a wheelchair, and I was like, oh, that would be kind of cool, I guess. But then when I watched it, I was like, oh, no one's in a wheelchair. I wonder why I got that impression then.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's because of the Extreme cartoon, because that was like, that was keeping the franchise alive during the, like, sort of the period, because I think after they made 1 and 2, basically, like, Bill Murray was like, no.
No more.
And so they sort of went, like, to make cartoons, basically. And then they were like, yeah, we'll just carry on making cartoons. Because I believe the guy that plays Brain, Maurice LaMarche, did Egon's voice. And he did it in Ghostbusters Extreme as well. I'm pretty sure it was him. I'm not going to Google it because, you know, maybe somebody could write in and be like, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Or if somebody wants to write in and go, that's right, you have a gold star. Maurice LaMarche, if you're listening, like, if you could tell me that I've done a good job, that would really be appreciated. Do it in the Egon voice or the Brain voice.
Or both.
Or the Kiff voice.
At the same time.
Yeah, just do all your voices at once. just explodes. So, yeah, I did want to point out some things from when we watched 1 and 2, actually. In 1, noticed a couple of things. Guess through the modern frame of, like, reference, Peter Venkman's really creepy.
Yep.
He's constantly trying to just shag everything. And he says some weird, really weird things. He's just sort of like, hey. Like, he just sort of like, I don't know, just imposes himself on Dana Barrett until she basically gives in and goes, all right.
Yeah, literally.
I'll bang you. Come on. Which I never watched Ghostbusters for the love plot. But
no.
But I was like, it's just, it's acceptable by 80s standards, but by modern standards.
Modern standards, really not. But like, because I watched it, I think when I was a bit older, and I went,
yeah. Like there's bits where he's just like, he makes certain references and stuff to her, and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
And then a race dance, Dan Aykroyd's character. Constantly has a beer in his hand.
Yep.
In the first Ghostbusters. There's even a scene where he's on the job.
Yep.
And it looks like he's having a can of lager. Which I was like,
beverage of some sort.
Is it beverage? He's got a beer and a cigarette.
Like, there's also a bit where when he's entering the hotel and he goes up the elevator and he's about to see Slimer, you see him flick the gun on, but there's no sound. And then later on, he then flicks the gun on again and then there is sound.
Oh really?
Yeah. So I thought it was interesting.
I think Winston Zeddemore is one of like the most likable characters.
Yeah.
Because he's just there. Like, I'm here for the paycheck. I'm not interested in all this stuff. But I love the fact that he basically goes like, when they're in prison, he's like, look, I have to get my own lawyer because you guys are a bit mental. And then the second he says that, they're just like, Ghostbusters, the mayor wants to see you. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'll go.
Okay, yeah.
I was like, Winston? Jeez, man. And there's a bit with him in the TV cut where he goes, in the film, he goes, He goes, he's talking to the mayor, and he goes, "Your Honor, I've been with this company for only a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But there's things that I've seen would turn. I've seen shit that will turn you white.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a fucking old like police officer, sort of white police officer that goes, ooh.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know, I think that bit's funny, but in the TV cut that's on Channel 5 quite a lot in the UK, he goes, "Your Honor, I've been with the company for a couple of months," and then the police officer sort of winces at that, as if he's like, "Oh, he's there's like a black guy working for the Ghostbusters." I always found it so like, why did you edit it like that? Like,
yes, like some TV cuts really just cut out sections that don't make, you know, that should make sense in the film, but then when you put when you cut that bit out, make the film not sensical. So you just go, "Did I just hear that right?" Or what?
Well, there's a cut of Jaws 4 in which the BBC aired it, and it's basically they sort of stretched it out for the telly. They panned the camera out for the telly, and you can see the mechanical shark basically. And it's like, it's amazing.
I hate Jaws. I can't watch Jaws.
And then Egon Spengler, I think his stuff is all just like psych, you know.
Yeah.
It's all technical speak and stuff like that. And it's just, I used to watch him and be like, he is the smartest man in the universe. Like, there's no one better than Egon Spengler.
With his ridiculous hair.
yeah. And people would be like, I remember playing Ghostbusters with kids, and they were like, "You have to be Egon because you've got glasses on." And I was like, "All right." I used to want to be Ray. I don't know, because I used to want to be Ray because I like having a beer in my hand. But,
I always remember in the first film that when, and I see it every time, when Dana sits on the chair and then the door behind her starts glowing and then arms come out of the chair and pin her down, there's that one arm that's like really gropey and causes like a boob slip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other arms are just holding her down. There's other ones like groping her. And I'm like, "All right, calm down."
It's the one between her legs that you want to be really worried about. One, yeah. It's like, "Oh, God." He's like, "Blah, blah, blah." Like, "Oh, God, please stop that." "Come on, Zool. Calm down." Yeah, I've got to say, though, it's just like watching those movies. That's just so good. One thing always bothered me about Ghostbusters 2, though, where it's like they put the Ghostbusters 2 logo on everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, but in their universe, why would they
do that?
Rebrand with a 2? Because it's not like, they're not a sequel to themselves.
No, exactly.
It's like, well, I even as a kid, it bothered me. I'd be like, why have they got 2 everywhere? And it also has like a Run DMC Ghostbusters song, which is like, it's fucking weird. But I used to fucking love it. I'd always like sing along to it, like, "Something strange going on, something's wrong, then you call the Ghostbusters." And I never knew the rest of the words.
Like, that was enough for you.
I never really found the museum owner who then became ethereal and dressed as a nanny with the little trolley. I never found that ghost creepy. The kind of ghost I found creepy was the bath slime monster.
Oh, God,
And I was like, "Oh, that's creepy." And it started reaching out towards them.
That's actually the reason, like, I actually started, like, I'll just get in the bath and run the bath and sit in the bath and wait for the water to get up to a level. Like, originally, when I was a kid, I'd want to do that because I had to keep an eye to see if pink slime came out. These films really fucked me up, but at the same time, like, I loved them, so...
So I only get in the bath as I'm running it, so then I don't have the awkward as you're stepping in going, as you're slowly sitting down, pulling your balls above your head.
You do it for actual reasons. I do it because I'm scared of pink slime coming in and destroying the bath. fucking hell, like, what's wrong with me? all these weird hang-ups from the Ghostbusters. But I love it so much. But then I'm like, actually, these films really fucked me up. Of course, there was the video game on Mass System, which fucking rocked. I can't.
Finally completed it.
Yeah.
After 30-odd years.
Woo!
Well, I used to love it.
Maybe 20-something years for whenever it came out.
I used to love it because it would say congratulations. Like, congratulations was spelled incorrectly, and you'd be like...
I was very disappointed. Like,
that's my favourite.
I was actually very disappointed that I finally completed it, and it was like, yeah, the whole congratulations and blah, 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 you saved everything, blah, blah. Here's a ton of money to help in your next game, but they don't give you a password, so you don't even get that money.
Nice.
So you don't get to use it, and you're like, what?
If any of you are interested as well, go onto YouTube, right? This is just type in Sega Master System Ghostbusters start screen, because they do the Ghostbusters song, but it's fucking ridiculously fast.
It's sped up a little bit, makes it more upbeat.
and they've got like a little bouncy ball that goes to the lyrics as well, so you can do a sing along with it.
And there's a very specific port that when you press the button as it says Ghostbusters, then a voice will go Ghostbusters.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah, fuck
everything else in life now. I just want that.
It wasn't on the Mass System, so
yeah. There's no way that would just blow the Mass System up. It would just be like, no, fuck that.
They're just bobbing as it's like do 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 do.
But yeah, I remember getting the game for my birthday one year, and then my parents asked me to go tidy up my birthday presents, and I was terrified because I was like, what if the ghosts escape the video game and come and get me? So my dad had to come down and
help you
supervise me. Yeah, he was there just like, this kid's really fucking stupid, like
you're there terrified of ghosts, and I'm there with ghosts around me. I'm like, yay.
Yeah,
woo,
yeah,
I can see ghosts.
There is no David, only Zool.
Yay. The thing is though, I think if I'd have watched Beetlejuice as a younger, like when I was younger, I might have been alright.
I never realised how much swearing was in Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah. And he's literally like she's 14, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna shag you. And it's like, oh, dude, no. Like, you're Batman, and you're dead.
Yeah.
You're dead Batman.
You literally are Beetlejuice.
I think we just have a little chat about Afterlife. For those listening at home, if you haven't seen Ghostbusters Afterlife, you probably just want to put the episode on pause.
Put it on mute, I guess, so then we still get the time. Or yeah, put it on pause, watch it, come back, or just don't listen from then on.
Yeah. So, 3, 2,
spoilers,
one.
Spoilers.
Holy fucking shit. I could not have been happier with that movie.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Yeah, definitely treated with a lot more respect and...
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
We'll touch briefly on Answer the Call. I watched that movie and I was like... I disliked it because it was like somebody hadn't watched a Ghostbusters movie and tried to make what they estimated a Ghostbusters movie would be. And it was nothing to do with the cast.
It was just, oh, ghosts, oh, isn't it funny?
Yeah. Oh, fart noise. It was like a modern day... It was basically a modern day take on the Ghostbusters franchise, but it was done in a way that was really just like, it was just shit. I can't say that, anything. I thought
the look of the ghost was okay, but very computerized. I preferred how they looked in like Ghostbusters 1 and 2. And I was actually pleased with Afterlife because they went back to how the ghost looked like in the previous one.
Totally.
And I, when I saw that, I was like, oh, they actually look more like ghosts in like the originals. I remember when I first watched it, I was like, oh, that's a good ghost effect.
I will say this about Answer the Call. I thought Chris Hemsworth was really good in it.
Oh, he was hilarious. He was great.
And he probably saved it for me. I wouldn't say it's completely unwatchable, but... And there were some interesting things, but it just, yeah, it was really...
It was just drowned out with just constant bad jokes.
It was, as well...
And the bad ghost, the choice of ghosts as well was pretty bad.
Yeah. And I think as well, the other thing that was sort of like... Because they kept making things like, oh, yeah, like, I think they did a thing where it was like, oh, the... Like, they put a joke about the fans online, like, disliking the trailer for it.
Mm.
And I thought that was very... I thought that was, the, that was like, the smartest joke in the movie, basically. It was like, oh, there's a comment... Like, there's all this negative, like, press around us, and they showed some comments from people looking at the trailer. And I was like, haha, that's quite cool. But then, yeah, I just think... The worst thing was they kept being like, we're going away from the Ghostbusters, and then plastered the Ghostbusters theme all over it.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is really bizarre. And so that's one thing that I really liked about Afterlife is that they didn't know about the Ghostbusters. And so you didn't hear the Ghostbusters theme every 5 seconds.
Yeah, no, that was really good.
It was the score was actually... very similar to the original
one, wasn't it?
Ghostbusters movie. So it's that boo 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 boo,
and they kept sort of, that eeriness in the atmosphere. And they had some people I overheard them saying, "Oh, like it was had a slow start and all this," and it's like, well, it's because it's a revamp, they're reintroducing more different characters, you need to get to know the characters so you can feel for them,
yeah,
rather than just diving headfirst into ghost blasting every fashion against
I think that's what
they'll go, oh, it's slow shit.
That's what I think after the what's the third one, what's it called, Make the Call, whatever it's called,
Answer the Call.
That's what I think they did, because they just try to get everyone in as quickly as possible.
Like, oh, we're gonna fight ghosts with these like knuckle dusters. Like,
yeah.
Sake. Really?
Yeah. So I think we'll just run through the film quickly. It's just like bits that we liked, which for me is the whole thing.
Yeah.
So strap in, guys. Basically, like, it starts with this chase, basically, but it's a chase where you can see somebody running away, but not what's coming after them. And it fucking killed me because I kept seeing glasses. And I was like, that's Egon. And
yeah,
it fucking killed me. It just, I was there just like, no, because again, like, he was... The actor's gone. Harold Ramis has passed away, unfortunately. And this is about him. This is about his character, about Egon and what happens. And I like the fact that, like, he'd sort of gone crazy, basically. Everyone just referred to him as the dirt farmer.
Yeah.
And they're like, he keeps just farming dirt. And I was like, oh, my God. Like... had he gone crazy? Like, obviously we've seen something coming from this mountain, like, and then you're introduced to his family, like his daughter basically and her kids, and they're getting kicked out, and they go to where he basically died, and you sort of like, you know, there's this weird sort of like mystery vibe very Stranger Things type.
Yes.
Like the kids are in charge sort of thing, which I think it's a good way to do it, because if you're trying to hook in the next generation, then you really should have a film that has the next generation.
That's it, exactly.
They don't want to see the original Ghostbusters do the whole film being like, we're here to do a job. Because who wants to watch old men do stuff? You want to see the kids,
yes,
basically. And the girl that plays Carrie, or Phoebe, sorry.
Phoebe.
McKenna Grace. She was pitch perfect.
She was great, actually.
She just looked like a little Egon.
She did. She really did. Very cute.
Weirdly enough, though, her older brother, which is played by Finn Wolfhard, he was more like Peter Venkman.
Yeah, he was, actually.
Like a teenage Peter Venkman, where he's like trying to like, he's like literally sees a pretty girl. He's like, hey.
Ooh, hello. Yeah,
yeah. Immediately flirting with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And she was great as well, the one that played Lucky, Celeste O'Connor.
Yeah.
But for me, podcast. The kid that he's just recording a podcast.
Oh, podcast. Yeah, right, podcast. Yeah. Brilliant.
He's got this like conspiracy theory podcast, and it like delves into the paranormal and shit like that. And he's just like, he sort of like introduces you to, he's your guide into the town, basically, which I thought was really. It's quite nice that, like, you know, this, he's a little kid that's sort of like doing this podcast and trying to find mystery in everything, and he eventually gets it because
yeah.
But he also teaches you about the town, and then you start hearing, which is another thing I really liked, was that you were hearing certain names, and it was like the first time I watched it, I was like, that's familiar. I'm pretty sure that's the guy from Ghostbusters 1, like the person that had built the Dana's apartment building. And then literally they're like, oh yeah, they melted all these like metal beams. Yeah. And you're like, yep, okay, yeah, that's the one. Fucking yep. One. And then you see like the Terror Dogs and Zool, Goza, and you're like, oh my God. it's like the capping off of that first film, basically, yeah. Which was just, yeah, I think that's another, it's the difficult thing, because it's towing on the line of just like, you want Ghostbusters, here's like the same bad guy sort of thing, but it made sense to me because it was like, you know, they just sort of like knocked her on her head, basically.
Yeah,
there was no destruction of Goza.
They just zapped the door.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I liked how they immediately went to do the same tactic again, and she was pretty much like, nah, it's not going to work a second time.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I really enjoyed Paul Rudd as well.
Yeah, I like Paul Rudd as an actor anyway.
Yeah. He just comes in and he's like...
He's so funny.
He's basically like the older... Well, it's basically us going like, do you not remember the Ghostbusters?
Yeah, that's it, exactly.
The fuck?
Yeah.
Like, he literally goes like, at one point, he's like, how do you not know this? Like, one of the kids, I'm ashamed of myself.
Yeah. They were everywhere.
Yeah.
That's it, exactly.
It's like it was the fucking Walking Dead. Yeah. Oh, my God. I've just seen J.K. Simmons played Ivo Shandor, the fucking... I was like, I didn't even realise it was J.K. Simmons. He had good makeup on. So, yeah, I think Carrie Coon played Callie, like Callie Spangler,
yeah.
Like Egon's daughter, and Paul Rudd played Greg Gruberson.
Gruberson, yeah, Mr. Gruberson.
Mr. Gruberson. And, like, yeah, I think the way that they did their parts as well, because they sort of take in the... Keymaster and gatekeeper roles.
They do.
And they did an amazing joke with it.
I was kind of glad they didn't have, so again, spoiler, although we're spoiling it anyway, but how they didn't have Slimer in there, because if they did Slimer, then it would be just, he would be the comedic relief, because that's tends to be what Slimer is. But he never was in the films. It's only the cartoons where he's always like...
Well, Ghostbusters 2, he is the comedic relief, because he sort of has like a relationship with Lewis Tully.
Yeah.
Like, Lewis Tully goes to go get his lunchbox, and Slimer's eating his lunch, and then... Later on, Slimer's driving this, like, Lewis Tully's like, I'm going to be a Ghostbuster. So he's like, got to make choices, stay fit, make good decisions. And he stops at a bus stop.
Yeah.
And
then
Slimer's the bus driver.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, do you even have your license? And he's like, okay, then. I like to think that they're living together in, like, an apartment in New York still. And it's just like
a monogamous relationship.
Yeah. Oh no, because he's obviously got Janine.
Yeah, he has.
Which when she turned up as well, it was just like you hear that voice.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my childhood loins were alight, because Ghostbusters 2, she gets sexy in Ghostbusters 2.
She does get sexy in Ghostbusters 2.
She's desperate for a child at that point, so. She's literally like, I'm ready to mate, and Lewis Tully's like, oh, okay. Do you want to play Super Mario Bros? And she's like, I want to play with your fucking Mario Bros. And then and then it's graphic sex. So the film sort of like builds up to the sort of mystery, and you see all these things that Egon's done, and you kind of like, this man's a fucking genius. And then you hear the, like, there's a phone call with Ray, in which, like, he sort of tells you what happened, and it's like Egon basically goes a little nuts and sort of just goes, we've got there's something coming, we need to go and sort it out, and he takes all the shit and fucks off, and then he calls Ray and says, like years later, and says, I need you, and Ray's just like, fuck you. Just get away from me. I don't, you know, you destroyed our friendship and all this. And it was just heartbreaking, because you sort of watch those movies and it's like, you know, they're the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And then you hear what happened to them as well. Like, Peter becomes a, which I fucking loved, was like, Peter becomes like a marketing, somebody that teaches marketing at university. And then
Ray obviously has the bookstore.
Yeah, Ray just stays at his bookshop. And then...
Winston is a high flyer, isn't he?
Yeah, Winston, like, works hard and becomes, like, a multi-billion...
Dollar person.
Dollar, yeah. He's just, like, he's just a fucking businessman.
Yeah.
And I was, like... It was sort of nice to be, like... But at least they didn't just, like, you know... Sit on the thumbs or whatever.
Yeah. Well, the worst of it, they couldn't, could they? Because obviously... Well,
they did their job too well.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's what they said,
it's like, you know... And that's the other thing. It's sort of like, well, I wonder how it's going to happen now. Because it's like, if you've done your job too well and you've... People aren't seeing ghosts anymore. How do you maintain a business eliminating ghosts?
Yeah.
Which... Try and open it up to other countries, I guess, but then you got the whole traveling there is the problem.
Yeah. Ghostbusters International.
Ghostbusters in space.
Yeah. Tell you what, the Ghostbusters should go to Japan, because the fucking, some of the Oni, like, I've read about, like, yeah, they need to be put into, it's just Oni that just come up to you. There's one where it's like a woman and she comes up to you and she goes, am I pretty? And if you say yes, she kills you. And if you say no, she kills you. And if you don't say anything, she just kills you. And you're like, right, the Ghostbusters could sort this out.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, fucking what the hell?
A ghost asks you, if you're pretty, you blast her in the face.
Yeah, Ray's just dead with a pair of scissors in his head. Ghost says, am I pretty? You say yes. So yeah, by the time the film comes to its climax, you're sort of like, it's just getting too much. I think it's just like everything's just like really speeding up, and it's getting
yeah.
You're sort of like, I'm ready. for whatever you throw at me. And they sort of start their final showdown. And that's when the boys turn up, basically.
Yeah.
That's when it gets a bit emotional and you start getting choked up.
Yeah. You're seeing like the Ghostbusters and yeah. they're back together. It's like, well, it's obviously just the three of them. And then you sort of like, you know, Peter's being funny.
Yeah.
Ray sort of does this big speech where he's like, on behalf of like, and he's just listing off things like there's a duck Watchers Weekly.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The old people, the OAP Society and the National Park. And, you know, Winston sort of like being Winston. Like, it wasn't like, oh, like they're back. It was like, it's just like they hadn't gone away, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though you haven't seen them through the whole film. And they start doing their bit and it doesn't go well.
No.
Ghost is just like, fuck this.
Yep. You've done this before? No, thank you.
And then the bit that really destroyed me completely, the girl...
Phoebe
is like, she tries to hold off Gozer by herself and she's getting pushed back, and then you just see a hand, a spectral hand, just sort of grab the gun with her, and then it pans up and you see Egon's ghost, and it's like Egon, it's as Egon would be in the movie sort of thing, and you're fucking it, like, I don't think when we first saw it there was a dry eye. You could hear people.
Better not be a dry eye, to be honest.
You could hear people just like sniffling, and I think there's probably a couple of people that were like, "What the fuck is going on?"
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get this great moment where the other Ghostbusters sort of notice.
Yeah.
And they're like.
Yeah, they do like a double take.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck? And they obviously beat the day. They defeat Gozer, and that's it. It's sort of like, and then you get treated to this really just, again, it's heart wrenching where Egon's finally getting his like payback, like his reward for
all that time.
For all the life he's given up. Because throughout the whole thing, you're hearing like, Callie, like his daughter, is constantly like bitter, and she's like, she's drunk like, Ray Stantz, basically.
Yeah.
Like nearly every scene, she's just like, she's had a glass of wine sort of thing, and she's just like, he abandoned us. Fuck him. He's a dickhead. And then she finds a thing that where he's basically been following her entire life. He's been keeping tabs on her, but he's just been guarding this point where the apocalypse is going to happen. And he gets a lovely moment with his grandkids, and he doesn't say my favorite part is he doesn't say anything. It's like, it's just, you know, It's just a perfect moment.
Yeah.
And then he just fades off, and it goes, it pans up to the stars where you see sort of like spectral form disappearing, and it just says, "For Harold." And that was a tough part, because I was there just like, fucking hell. I remember seeing like his name all over the Ghostbusters stuff, because he created the Ghostbusters that we know.
It was mentioned in the Ghostbusters game that I was playing as well, that the moment you play the game and it begins to do the opening credits, it says in loving memory of Harold Ramis.
Yeah. Nice. I really want to play the game because I hear it's fucking super fucking fun. But yeah, just literally like it was the perfect, like, tribute to him. I think the film was more in line with his writing than Answer the Call was.
Yeah, I'll tell
and me. It was just, yeah. It was a story. It wasn't a story about Ghostbusters, the ghosts and fighting ghosts. It was a story about a family that was broken, and by the end of the film, it's fixed.
Yeah,
it's, you know, you've got this awkward girl.
They were lost and wandering, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, you know, and it's peppered with things like, you know, there's mini staple of Marshmallow Men.
Oh,
in
that, and that was brilliant.
And just,
now they're all just committing suicide.
Yeah. Constantly.
It's so fucked up to think. But you've got all these moments where it's just like, there's fun Ghostbusters bits, and it's not in your face. And
It has its moments of comedy, but it's not just all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful. It was quite beautiful, especially with, I think with the year that I've had, I really needed that. It was a gentle cuddle and a pat on the bum. Like, there you go. Go on. Deal with life now.
Deal with life now.
And it was, yeah, I mean, it's one of the, I don't often go to the cinema multiple times to see movies because I like to have that experience, like, like to have it once, and then I remember, like, back to that and been like, oh, that was really, really nice. But I've seen it twice because I was like, I wanted to absorb as much of that movie as I physically could, because
it was a very good movie.
It's definitely in my, I mean, you'll hear this again in a couple of weeks time when we do our year review, but it's one of my favorite movies of the year, and I will fight anyone that says it's rubbish.
Yeah,
I mean, I probably won't actually fight you, but I'll go, nah, you're wrong. Nah.
Nah.
I thought it was rubbish. Nah. No, you didn't. I'm becoming one of those people where I'll start arguing with people online and just being, oh, yeah, Ghostbusters is really good. But yeah, I mean, I saw a lot of people being negative about it. Apparently the critics were not too kind to it.
I mean, they never are.
No,
the fans. The fans.
They feel like because I'm a critic, that means I have to say that it's rubbish.
Yes.
Because normally, when the critics say something's great, then it's rubbish.
Yeah.
The critics don't really know what is good or not.
I think people are desperate to crap on it because there is a lot of sort of, I'd say sentimental. It's quite sentimental. When you see things like the Ecto One, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
It's a very, there is a lot of member berries in it, but you can't do that without having the past there because.
Exactly.
Because that's what the whole film is about, discovering the past and who you are. And, but yeah, I'm just going to say this now. If you're going to go by what I think, it's a fucking great film. And if you've listened to this far without watching it, I hope you're not too
disappointed,
upset.
No,
like, we did warn you, so yes. I mean, it's fucking on you.
It's your own fault.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
but if you've listened to this and haven't watched it, and you can get a bit teary when it comes to movies, make sure you take tissues because we both cried when we first watched it, didn't we? So,
yeah.
And we kind of cried again when we watched it the second time.
We've nearly cried recording this.
Yeah, we have.
So, I mean, that's how much. The thing is, though, that's a movie, like, that's been a Dawson movie, the Ghostbusters 1 and 2. Not Answer the Call. Sorry, girls. Ghostbusters 1 and 2 have been like a staple of Dawson films. We would gather as a family and watch them, and so it's very much in my DNA, that film, which sounds weird to say because it's just a movie. People go, it's just a movie, but it's like, that's like a family It's a family thing, that, for us. It's like, it's, I don't know.
It's like anything. It's like, for us, for my family, like, when it comes to Christmas, like Boxing Day, we would get the N64 out. We would put 007 GoldenEye on the TV, and we will literally just every year we will just sit there religiously and play this game. And it's just like you have such fond memories of when you would watch it or play these games, and you don't really want to lose those. Because you watch, say, when we've watched the next one, those memories will come back, you know, because of the new movie.
And I will say this, my dad actually really liked it, which was nice.
Yeah, which is good to know.
He was very much into it. But anyway, I think we've been going on for
far,
like,
too long.
Far too long. But you know what? I love Ghostbusters, so I don't really give two shits if it's too long. anyway, I'd like to thank Tanya and Dave for joining me.
Yeah, welcome. Thank you for having us, as always.
You can join Dave on his Twitch channel, JazzChicken87 at twitch.tv.
Mm-hmm.
It's JazzChicken87. No, wait, it's twitch.tv/JazzChicken87.
Yeah.
Is the URL. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not streaming due to bad internet, so I've been thinking of going back to how I first started the year, and then people talk me out of it, is pre-recording videos and just upload it on there, and then have that light streaming constantly as a rerun.
At least then you'll get some stuff out there.
If you want, you can send it over to me as well, and I'll just whack it into...
I'll be doing a lot of relaxing videos, and also I'm going to record this Ghostbusters game as well.
Nice.
And, if you want, Dave, you can always throw it my way, and I'll put it on the Big Timmy's House page.
Yep.
And then people can watch you play video games. And I might even put some videos up. Who knows? Hopefully I'll feel a bit better. I can start recording some shit and putting it on there. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to check out next week for some more D&D, and hopefully we
need to get back on that, because the other team, they've almost completed the campaign.
yeah we've really got to catch up with it in
retrospect,
in our thing. I think we're just about to we're trying to escape the orc stronghold. Will we do it? You'll have to find out. It'd be pretty awkward if we didn't do it.
Yeah, totally.
Because I think that would be a game over if we get killed. So
it'll be suddenly the next episode. Oh, we've now got these characters. Introduce yourselves.
Yeah.
We just die, and then somebody picks up the curse from Lee's corpse. It's like, oh, that's awkward. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed it. If you've got any fond Ghostbusters memories, why don't you stick them on the comment
page?
Yeah, there's comments section on the podcast. You can write some fond Ghostbusters memories, and maybe I'll read them out in a future episode. Ghostbusters 2. I always wish they'd be like, oh no, we've got to call Ghostbusters 2. Like, that's what they should have done in Ghostbusters 2, just like every 5 seconds and mention it. The fact that it's a second one. Anyway, thank you so much for joining me. I've been Big Timmy.
I'm Lady Giggles.
And I am Slimer.
Get out of my house. I don't care. You're an ugly little spud, and I can't have you sliming up the house. No, I'm not putting that potato in there.
Actually, a good Slimer voice, that.
That is actually real. You win the part. I'm just going to put Slimer in everything now, and you're going to have to do the voice. Say goodbye, Slimer.
Bye-bye.
That was really good.